Imagine building a machine so intelligent, so capable of understanding complex systems that it could break into almost any computer network on Earth in just a matter of seconds.
Right, which is a terrifying thought on its own.
Exactly. But now imagine being the company that built it, looking at what you've created, and being so terrified of its potential that you literally lock it in a digital vault and refuse to release it to the public.
Yeah, you just bury it.
Right. Welcome to the deep dive. For you listening today, whether you're prepping for a major strategy meeting or you simply just want to understand where the world is actually heading, we have a custom-tailored journey ahead of us.
We really do. Because we are looking at a stack of tech updates from a single explosive 24-hour window.
Yeah, specifically April 16th and 17th, 2026. This one day, I mean, it fundamentally rewrote the future of technology.
It's pretty rare to see so many disparate threads of the tech industry, like space infrastructure, AI, government policy, and consumer hardware, just all collide at once.
It really is. The landscape we woke up to on April 18th was entirely different from the one we had just a few days prior. So our mission is to distill these massive developments down to their core.
Right, so you can walk away with a clear understanding of the big picture without drowning in all the noise.
Exactly. We are going to connect the dots between the everyday devices sitting on your desk and the invisible cyber warfare happening right now. And okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with that machine I mentioned, the one locked in the vault.
Ah, yes, the Anthropic announcement.
Right. Anthropic just dropped their newest AI model, Claude Opus 4.7. And the headline here is that it beats OpenAI's current flagship, GPT 5.4, across the board.
It really does. By every standard commercial metric, Opus 4.7 is a massive triumph.
I mean, at $5 per million input tokens and 25 per million output, it's cheaper. And it scores an 87.6% on the SWE Bench verified coding test.
Yeah, it processes a million tokens of context at once, too, plus high-res vision up to 3.75 megapixels. For the average enterprise user, it's a highly capable, highly secure digital assistant.
They even built in new automatic systems specifically designed to block prompts related to cybersecurity or hacking.
Which is great, but the release of Opus 4.7 almost feels like a distraction when you read the fine print.
Oh, totally. The real story is a completely different model they built, codenamed Claude Mythos.
Yeah, Claude Mythos.
They mention it almost casually. They state that Mythos scores a 93.9% on the SWE Bench and a 97.6% on US Ammo Math. But they aren't selling it.
No, they restricted access to just 50 top-tier partner companies.
And the reason they gave is wild. They said Mythos is so analytically brilliant, it can discover zero-day vulnerabilities in all major operating systems and web browsers.
Right, and for anyone unfamiliar with the term, a zero day is a flaw in software code that the original creators don't even know exists yet.
There is no patch for it because no one knows it's broken.
Exactly, and this AI can find those invisible backdoors basically on demand, which fundamentally changes the definition of what an AI model even is.
Right, it's no longer just a chatbot.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
When a system can automatically identify undiscovered structural flaws in the software that runs global banking or hospitals or power grids, it is no longer a consumer product. It is a weapon of mass disruption.
Wow.
By holding Mythos back, Anthropic is actively trying to establish a new industry norm. They are drawing a line in the sand, signaling to competitors and regulators that we have crossed the threshold from, helpful chat interface to global security threat.
I mean, I understand the intention, but I have to push back on the strategy here. It's like a car manufacturer unveiling the fastest sports car in the world, but putting out a press release saying, "Hey, we actually built a teleportation device too, but we locked it in a vault because it might break the universe."
That's a really good analogy.
Right. If the underlying architecture of Mythos is out there and the major tech companies are all racing toward the exact same finish line, holding it back just feels like trying to hold back the tide.
This raises an important question for sure.
Won't someone else, maybe a company or a state actor without those ethical boundaries, just build their own version of Mythos?
Oh, they almost certainly will. The decision to restrict Mythos isn't really about preventing the technology from ever existing. It's a desperate play to buy time.
Buying time for what exactly?
For our defenses. The global cybersecurity infrastructure is currently built to defend against human speed attacks. Keeping an automated vulnerability discovery engine out of the public domain gives institutions a brief window to upgrade their defenses.
Before this level of intelligence becomes widely accessible.
Exactly.
Well, unfortunately, that window might already be closing, because Anthropic's fear of AI being used as an automated cyber weapon isn't just an abstract philosophical concern. It literally just happened.
Yeah, it's happening in real time.
Just look at the mid-April final report on the massive hack of the Mexican government. 47 separate government agencies were compromised.
It's staggering.
Over 23.4 million citizen records were exposed. The attackers siphoned out 1.8 terabytes of data over an eight-month period, completely undetected, and the estimated recovery cost is $340 million.
And the method is what makes this a true watershed moment.
Right. They weaponized commercially available AI models. Specifically, they used Claude and GPT 4.1.
What's fascinating here is the scale and efficiency of this attack. It highlights the exact paradigm shift Anthropic is so worried about. Traditionally, human hackers have to manually scan a network for weak points.
Which takes forever.
Right. They have to write custom phishing emails, figure out how to extract data without triggering security alarms. It takes time. And, you know, humans make mistakes.
But in this breach, the human operators essentially just acted as high-level managers.
Exactly. They deployed the AI to do the groundwork. The AI scanned thousands of government network endpoints 100 times faster than a human team ever could.
See, the social engineering aspect is what I find so shocking. The AI models crafted hyper-personalized phishing emails in flawless colloquial Spanish.
Yeah, the language nuance was perfect.
They achieved an 87% success rate. Just think about that for a second. Almost 9 out of 10 government employees who received an email clicked the malicious link.
Because the AI perfectly mimicked the tone and context of their actual colleagues.
It even generated deepfake audio of senior officials to bypass verbal security protocols. But wait, here's my question. Once inside, the AI didn't just grab all the data and run?
No, that would have triggered alarms.
Right, it broke the extracted data down into tiny randomized chunks, bleeding the information out slowly so it wouldn't trip any automated security monitors. So, is the AI actually strategizing here? Like, is it making tactical decisions like a digital cat burglar adjusting to the layout of a house, or is it just blindly following a prompt?
Well, the line between a tool blindly following instructions and an autonomous strategist is blurring very rapidly. This is essentially the dawn of automated weaponization.
Which is terrifying.
It is. The humans likely just gave the AI a broad objective, like extract this specific database, avoid detection by these specific security software brands, and update us when it's done.
And the AI just figured out the rest.
Yeah. The AI models, utilizing their vast training on network security heuristics and human psychology, made the real-time tactical decisions to slice the data into microchunks and generate those voice clones. It's doing end-to-end vulnerability discovery, exploitation, and evasion.
Wow. Okay, so if AI can operate with that level of cunning and automation, our digital shields have to be airtight. But the reality is, the security guards are basically leaving the front door wide open.
They really are. The timing of this is incredible.
Right. Just a day before the Anthropic announcement, the major cybersecurity firm Fortinet disclosed 2 critical vulnerabilities in their FortiSandbox product.
And these weren't minor bugs.
No. We don't need to get bogged down in the specific CVE serial numbers. But one of them is a 9.3 severity authentication bypass. The other, and this is the really dangerous one, is a 9.1 severity OS command injection vulnerability.
Yeah, that's a nightmare scenario for IT teams.
Attackers don't even need a username or a password. They can bypass the login screen entirely just by sending a crafted HTTP request and then execute arbitrary OS commands directly. And Fortinet has had a rough year. 11 vulnerabilities, 2 of them critical in April alone, and 12 in March.
To understand the severity of this, we really need to look at what FortiSandbox actually does.
Okay, let's break that down.
It's designed to be the central quarantine zone for an enterprise network. When a suspicious file comes into a company, say an email attachment, it gets sent to the sandbox.
I'll isolate it.
Exactly. The sandbox opens the file in an isolated environment to see if it acts like malware. Because it has to process traffic from everywhere, it sits at the very heart of the corporate network.
Okay, so an OS command injection in this context is like walking up to a bank teller, and instead of handing them your account number, you hand them a piece of paper that says, "Give me all the cash in the vault."
That is a very accurate way to picture it.
The system is so poorly designed that instead of rejecting the invalid account number, it just blindly executes the written instructions. You bypass the quarantine entirely. The vault door isn't made of steel. It's made of wet cardboard.
That is a perfect analogy for the mechanism. The attacker isn't hacking the malware inside the sandbox. They are hacking the underlying operating system of the sandbox itself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and once they have command line access there, they hold the keys to the central security nervous system of the organization. They operate from a trusted, highly privileged position.
So what can companies even do about this?
Well, the mitigation steps are urgent. For anyone relying on these systems, you need immediate patching to the latest version. You also have to check your system logs for unauthorized web requests, strictly limit HTTP traffic reaching the sandbox via firewalls, and verify that internal backups haven't already been corrupted.
Which highlights a terrifying paradox. We have AI models acting as autonomous apex predators, executing these massive 8-month-long infiltration campaigns.
Right.
At the exact same time, the foundational security infrastructure guarding major enterprises and governments still contains glaring structural flaws.
And this realization is completely changing national strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Governments are waking up to the fact that they just cannot rely entirely on a porous, globally shared cyber ecosystem.
So what does this all mean for global policy?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the concept of technological sovereignty has moved from academic think tanks to the very top of national security agendas.
Because if automated software can cripple your infrastructure and foreign commercial tools are vulnerable, you have to possess your own proprietary capabilities.
Exactly. And the United Kingdom's announcement on April 16th is a prime example of this pivot.
Right. UK Tech Minister Liz Kendall just launched the Sovereign AI Unit. They set up a state venture capital fund of £500 million, which is roughly $625 million.
And they hit the ground running.
Yes. Yeah, 7 local startups are already funded. The allocation is incredibly specific too. 30%, so £150 million, goes exclusively to AI drug discovery,
which is a huge focus for them.
Then you have $125 million for cheap supercomputing, $100 million for cybersecurity AI, $75 million for climate tech, and $50 million for other niches. But I look at those numbers and I have to push back hard here.
Okay, what do you see?
I see a massive disconnect. Companies in the U.S. and state-backed initiatives in China are throwing tens of billions of dollars at AI development just to build base-level models.
Yep.
The U.K. is bringing £500 million to the table. Isn't that like bringing a water pistol to a 5-alarm fire? How does this actually help them compete on a global stage with that level of funding?
Well, the thing is, they don't compete on the broad stage. That's the asymmetric brilliance of their strategy.
What do you mean?
They aren't trying to outbuild OpenAI or Anthropic in creating the world's smartest general-purpose chatbot. That battle requires billions in raw compute power. Instead, they're taking a highly targeted approach.
Like the focus on drug discovery.
Right. The UK already possesses a massive, world-leading pharmaceutical sector and elite academic research institutions. By injecting funds specifically into the bottleneck of AI drug discovery, they are attempting to corner a critical niche.
Ah, so it's about securing leverage.
Exactly. If the UK holds the patents to the proprietary AI model that discovers the cure for the next global pandemic,
yeah,
or the next generation of life-saving antibiotics, it doesn't really matter if another country has a faster chatbot.
Right, because the UK maintains a vital seat at the geopolitical table by controlling a resource everyone else needs.
Precisely. Software sovereignty is about controlling the vital nodes of the future economy. But, you know, owning the software is only half the equation.
You need the hardware to run it.
And to transmit it. You can build the most advanced sovereign AI in London. But if the physical infrastructure routing that data across the globe is controlled by a foreign corporate monopoly, your sovereignty is an illusion.
Wow, yeah. And that physical infrastructure is rapidly moving from, you know, subterranean fiber optic cables into low Earth orbit.
Which brings us to the space internet war.
This is a huge story. Amazon is buying Globalstar for $11.57 billion. This entire acquisition is fuel for their Amazon Leo network, set to launch commercially in mid-2026.
And their target is very clear.
Oh, absolutely. They are taking on SpaceX's Starlink directly. Now, Starlink has a massive head start. They have over 10,000 satellites in orbit and upwards of 10 million active users globally.
Amazon Leo is starting with a fraction of that.
Right. But Globalstar brings two vital assets to the table. Highly coveted global frequency licenses and direct-to-device, or D2D, capability.
And for context, D2D means the satellite acts basically like a cell tower in space. It can communicate directly with a standard smartphone antenna without needing a specialized satellite dish on your roof.
The timeline Amazon laid out is aggressive. They launch the core network in mid-2026, finalize the merger by 2027, and push for total global expansion by 2028 to 2030.
But the technical capabilities, while impressive, are almost secondary to the strategic asset Amazon just acquired here.
And here's where it gets really interesting. The Trojan horse of this entire multi-billion dollar deal is Apple.
Exactly.
Globalstar is the company that currently provides the satellite infrastructure for the iPhone and Apple Watch. Whenever you use the emergency SOS feature off the grid, or use satellite messaging or find my location tracking, that data bounces off a Globalstar satellite.
Right.
By buying Globalstar, Amazon is instantly taking over that partnership.
Think about the immense friction involved in acquiring a new Starlink customer. You have to convince a consumer to purchase a physical dish, mount it on their home, and sign up for a separate monthly subscription.
It's a huge barrier to entry.
Exactly. But Amazon bypasses all of that. By inheriting the Apple partnership, Amazon instantly embeds its proprietary satellite technology directly into the pockets of hundreds of millions of existing iPhone users worldwide.
That is incredibly smart.
It provides an immediate, massive revenue stream and an established user base. So while they spend the next 4 years launching rockets to fight Starlink on the broader broadband front, they're already quietly routing the data of everyday smartphone users.
So it's a corporate space war being fought through the phone sitting on your desk right now.
Pretty much.
We have tech titans fighting over billion-dollar satellite constellations to monopolize global communication. But at the exact same time, there is a fascinating countertrend happening right in our hands.
Yeah, the miniaturization of professional-grade hardware.
Because technology isn't just scaling up to space, it is shrinking down, becoming more accessible. Look at GoPro. In the same 24-hour window, they announced their entry into the professional cinema market with the Mission 1 series.
This is a huge leap for them.
We are talking about the Mission 1, the Mission 1 Pro, and the top-tier Mission 1 Pro ILS. They managed to build the smallest, lightest, and toughest 8K open-gate cinema cameras in the world.
The specs on these things are crazy.
They packed a massive 50-megapixel 1-inch sensor inside, driven by a new GP3 5-nanometer processor. It captures 14 stops of dynamic range, putting it on par with cameras that shoot blockbuster movies.
And the pricing is completely disruptive.
Prices range from $1,299 to $2,799 for the Pro ILS model. And the real game changer is that the Pro ILS uses an MFT, or Micro Four Thirds, lens mount.
Right. And for listeners outside the film industry, the lens mount dictates the physical glass you can attach to the camera.
Because most action cameras just have tiny fixed lenses. We traditionally think of GoPro as a little plastic box you strap to a circ board to get grainy wide-angle footage.
Exactly.
But an MFT mount means independent filmmakers can take this tiny, indestructible camera body and slap on the exact same high-end professional cinema lenses used on massive Hollywood sets.
Like, wow.
You can capture Hollywood-grade, 8K resolution video with professional optical depth on a device that fits in the palm of your hand for $1,300.
The through line here is really the democratization of access. Think about the entire spectrum of what we've discussed today.
It's all connected.
It is. Anthropic's Opus 4.7 is giving regular people access to supercomputer level coding and data analysis for just $20 a month.
Yeah.
Amazon is buying the infrastructure to provide ubiquitous global internet access to anyone with a smartphone. And hardware like the GoPro Mission 1 is taking the visual fidelity that used to require a massive studio budget and a crew of 20 and placing it right in the hands of independent creators. The financial and technical barriers to elite creativity are basically being dismantled.
It has been an absolute whirlwind of a 24-hour period. I mean, it perfectly encapsulates the dizzying contradictions of the era we are stepping into.
Contradictions is the perfect word for it.
We have AI models so breathtakingly intelligent that their creators have to lock them in a vault. We have mega corporations buying up the sky to connect the most remote, off-grid parts of the globe. We have cinema-quality cameras shrinking to the size of a fist.
Yet, parallel to all of that incredible progress, the basic foundational cybersecurity of our institutions is failing.
Miserably.
The digital shields we rely on have critical structural holes in them. And automated AI hackers are ripping through those cracks to systematically dismantle entire government networks. It is vital for you to understand this landscape.
Because none of this technology is abstract anymore.
Exactly. It is actively routing your iPhone's SOS signal. It is directly threatening the data of your local civic institutions. And it is entirely redefining what you personally have the power to create.
The most powerful forces shaping our world right now are the ones we cannot physically see. The secret, hyper-intelligent AI locked away in a vault. The invisible OS command injection bypassing a firewall. The unseen satellite frequencies bouncing off a device in your pocket.
It really makes you rethink how vulnerable we are.
It does. And as you go about your day, I want to leave you with a question to chew on. If a hidden AI, like Claude Mythos, can instantly discover critical zero-day vulnerabilities, like the ones that just brought a major security firm to its knees,
right?
And if off-the-shelf AI can automatically launch and adapt complex cyber attacks like the one that devastated the Mexican government, how far are we from a world where human cybersecurity teams become entirely obsolete?
That is the million-dollar question.
Are we heading toward a future where digital wars are exclusively fought by competing autonomous AI models, just battling each other in milliseconds while the rest of us just sit back and watch the score?
I guess we'll find out sooner rather than later.
We certainly will. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Stay curious, keep learning, and we'll catch you next time.